Live.
The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my friend, engineer. He's my friend, he's my engineer and producer. Is there a way we can do, put producer in there too? Friend, you produce something crazy like that. Bob Dio on the other side of the glass. Together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. Since 2011, Buckmaster on 1030, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. It's Tuesday, the 25th of June, 2019. Hope you're having a good day. You're listening to our program, of course, live, and you can live stream our program on my website, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. All of our podcasts are available on your schedule, 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. Our live line number, questions, comments, concerns, 790-2040. I'll tell you one concern, diabetic amputations on the rise in the United States, a growing number of people with diabetes in this country losing toes and feet to the disease by the time they reach middle age, according to a study that suggests a reversal after years of progress against diabetes. When people with diabetes have poorly controlled blood sugar, over time, that can restrict the blood flow to the lower legs and lead to nerve damage and impaired wound healing. And with a lack of sensation in the feet and lower legs, people may not notice sores and infections that develop until these problems become so extensive that they can only be addressed by amputating the damaged portion of the foot or leg. We're joined now on the live line by professor of surgery at the Keck School of Medicine at USC. He's a former university distinguished outreach professor of surgery at the University of Arizona, and I'm proud to say he's my friend, Dr. David Armstrong, with us. Dr. Armstrong, thank you for taking a few minutes away from your clinic over there at USC, but this is pretty important stuff, isn't it?
Bill, it is, and it's really good to hear from you. And even under the circumstances, it's good
yes,
to hear from you.
Thank
and,
you, sir.
This is a good reason, I guess, to interrupt our clinic to talk to you about this, because, you know, this is one of the biggest problems, I think, that no one's talking about, except you right now and me and the two of us and our really, really busy clinic here, not only at USC in Los Angeles, but I'm sure also at our sister program at University of Arizona in Tucson.
You have seen, unfortunately, a lot of amputations. And would you say generally that they can be of this to that level, when it gets to that extreme level, can generally that be avoided, Dr. Armstrong?
Yes. Just to be very simple, almost all of these ultimately can be avoided. In fact, Bill, the reason I'm talking to you from USC was that I was recruited out here with the big idea to try to eliminate what we call preventable amputations over the next generation. And I believe firmly that we can do that, even despite these terrible and really sobering data that we get from colleagues of ours that are just reporting this.
Why this spike now and this turnaround in the diabetic amputations?
Yeah, that's a great question. And the short answer is, I don't, you know, I think whenever you're dealing with statistics and large data sets, the short answer is we really don't know entirely, and there are a lot of reasons. But let's go over a couple. One of them is that we are in the midst of a tsunami of demography in terms of diabetes, where we're getting inundated by this problem where more and more folks are getting more and more ready access to calories, and so we're becoming a victim of our own success as a species, and thereby generating a lot more, putting on a lot more storage of fat, and then that, of course, causes a lot more type 2 diabetes, which, of course, is a problem that we're seeing not only in the United States, but really around the world. when someone gets diabetes, they're at higher risk for developing what's called neuropathy, where they lose what one of my old mentors used to call the gift of pain. So Billy can, you know, we all think that pain's a terrible thing to have, and God knows we all do. And you know, usually people come to the doctor, like our clinic here, if they have pain. But imagine if you didn't have pain. So I will tell you, without violating confidentiality, the last person I just saw, just maybe 2 minutes before I picked up with you as you were doing the intro, was a young man who had stepped on a nail. He had stepped on a nail. He's a roofer, and had stepped on the nail about a week ago. And didn't think it was that big a deal. And it didn't hurt him very much. And now he's a terrific guy. He's just in his early 30s, but he has diabetes and he has some neuropathy. So he didn't know it was supposed to hurt him. Now he has a problem that's really limb threatening, and no kidding, it's life threatening, because he's very, very sick. And so we're actually working to try to get him into the hospital as we speak, because we're going to be taking him into the operating room likely later today. And that was just from something that, you know, can happen to any of us, you know, just stepping on something sharp. But what you can't feel can hurt you. And that's the learning point here from diabetes, as it were.
And one thing I've learned through our friendship, Dr. Armstrong, is to check the bottom of your feet regularly. And I mean almost every day.
Yeah. Well, right. And, you know, we have a saying here, you know, to try to help teach not only our patients, but other doctors and nurses and other clinicians. We just say, you know, knock your socks off. You know, if you go into your doctor's office for your primary care visit and you're seeing the doctor or the nurse, just knock your socks off. He or she doesn't have a lot of time to see you. You know that, and with all the pressures that doctors and nurses have nowadays. But if you take the shoes and socks off, then that makes him or her focus on that, and they'll have a quick look. And sometimes, hopefully not very often, but sometimes they're going to pick up a problem that they might not normally have picked up. But it also remind them to have them go and see refer you to see a foot specialist, because the data are really strong that if you just see your foot doctor, your podiatrist, along with another member of the diabetes team in the preceding year, there is a relative reduction of risk in getting an amputation, like we've talked about, anywhere from, on the low end, about 20%, to on the high end, no kidding, over 60% in that one study, and over 80% in still another study. So just a simple, it's nothing fancy. It's not, it's just good quality care and team care. And that's what we have here at USC, at our program. It's what you have, thank goodness, in Southern Arizona, throughout the Banner system and at University of Arizona. These programs, when they're put together, can really, really make a difference in reducing amputations locally, regionally, and frankly, nationally, which makes the reason that we're calling about this rise in amputations in some places so troubling.
And you know, when I go to get my regular 4 to 6 month checkup for skin cancer with my dermatologist, I always make sure the feet are checked very carefully, because I'll tell you one thing, I'm a big reggae fan of the late Bob Marley.
Bob
had a melanoma between his,
that's how he died.
Yes, between the toes. So, and I always think about that. So that's another set of eyes that you can get on the bottom of the feet.
Yeah, you know, the thing about the foot, if you didn't know, it's all the way there. I'll give you an anatomy lesson. It's at the end of the body. And it's often covered up by shoes and socks. It's sort of at the end of this sort of anatomic peninsula. And so it's largely ignored.
Yeah.
And it's largely ignored not only by us as just people, but it's ignored often in medicine and surgery, unless it's a problem, right? Unless there's a symptom. You know, we go to our doctor, as we said earlier. You know, you might go to your doctor and say, gosh, doc, you know, my shoulder hurts. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, gosh, doc, my head hurts. I've been getting headaches or my chest hurts, God forbid. But imagine if it didn't hurt when it was supposed to hurt.
Yeah.
And that's the problem.
All right. I've got about time for one more question. This is something I've been curious about because I follow your extensive travels on Facebook. I mean, you go all over the world speaking about diabetes and how to hopefully prevent amputations. Is there a country that does not seem to have as big a diabetes problem as we're experiencing here in this country? And what are they doing differently and what are they doing right?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think the short answer is no. So I'm going to tell you that this problem is common, it's complicated, and it's costly all over the world. However, there are places, some of the Nordic countries right now do have evidence of improvements in care in diabetes and the diabetic foot, and the rates are slightly lower in some of those areas. But the interesting thing about diabetes in general is that this is unfortunately an equal opportunity disease. And it is increasing in every country all over the world. And it's affecting not just rich countries, but it's affecting poor countries as well. 4 out of 5 of deaths in general from non-communicable diseases like diabetes and cancer and heart disease and such are happening in the developing world, not in the developed world. So unfortunately, the bad part is that the wealth here is spread all over the place.
Dr. Armstrong, always a pleasure. Great catching up with you. Thank you. Get back to clinic and hopefully helping that young man who stepped on a nail and get him into surgery. Thank you, sir.
We will do. Take care, and you all be well.
Thank you very much. Dr. David Armstrong, professor of surgery at the Keck School of Medicine, USC, and he's the former university distinguished outreach professor of surgery at the University of Arizona. I'll tell you, he is an amazing person and a great guy. I'm glad he is. I'm proud he's a friend. This portion of Buckmaster presented by Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. How about it right now? Mona's for lunch. If you haven't had breakfast or you're yearning for some pancakes or French toast, Bob Dio shaking his head saying, yeah, he could go for it right now. Mona's Danish Bakery, they're doing the breakfast starting every morning at 6:30. They're open right now for lunch. Have a great sandwich. All those wonderful selection, the wonderful selection of breads. Owner and chief baker Steve does such a great job up there with the team. MonasDanishBakery.com. Also a link of all of our partners like Mona's at BuckmasterShow.com. Shelley Fishman is next on Buckmaster. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To sign up for RTA updates, visit RTAmobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Moa Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Mo has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Mo for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor professional. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And let's welcome now Shelley Fishman, who is on the live line from Phoenix at an advisors conference. Shelley, how is your week going so far?
Week is great, except I had to rediscover a beautiful North Central Avenue in Phoenix. It's been about 10 years since I've been here, and all the turns are changed.
Wow. boy, you mentioned North Central Avenue in Phoenix, and that brings back all sorts of memories for me. When I worked for the Associated Press in 1973, Ann and I had a small place up on North Central. In those days, that was kind of the northern part of Phoenix.
It's not anymore.
no, it isn't.
The light rail goes right up north, so it goes right up central. So
yeah.
The turns are kind of tricky, memory is a good thing. It comes back, and I found my way to where I needed to be, and now I'm overlooking the street as I'm talking to you.
Shelley, we've been talking, I think, for a couple of years off and on about this issue and concern about national service. And the idea seems to be catching on. It just, I don't know where it's going to go from here, but I like the fact that people seem, first of all, to say, give the affirmative, yes, they like it. And second of all, it's getting a lot of exposure, like the New York Times.
It really is, Bill, and it's kind of important, because one question that might pop up in people's minds is, what's a financial advisor doing talking about national service? Well, I've identified three major medium and short-term factors that could affect the economy and thus affect investments and affect the markets. Global warming is one. Healthcare costs in the U.S. are another. The third is income inequality. And that's the one that really got me thinking several years ago about national service, because what we know is, right now, for instance, we have about 5 or 6 million jobs in this country that can't be filled because we don't have people with the skills to do it. That's number one. Number two, we also know, because, we're told repeatedly by the talking heads, that the atmosphere in the country has become, more secularized, that people are on one side or another side of an issue, and they don't seem to have a common ground or a way of dealing with each other in a productive dialogue or a productive discussion. One of the things that a national service policy would do is get people at age 18, when they graduate from high school, get them into something that they would have to share with everybody else, essentially, in the country. It'd be a common set of experiences. They would be thrust together, if you will, in something that would cause all of our youth to have a common basis that would provide some sort of, well, let's say it again, commonality. And at the same time, when they spend that time in national service, there would be, as a result of that time spent, there would be some rewards. And one of those rewards could be education, and the kind of education, whether it be college education, community college, junior college education, or even technical education, that would start to prepare people better for the kinds of jobs going forward. Now, this isn't an instant fix for income inequality, but it gets us part of the way there. The Times article that you were referring to was a survey done about a year ago and just published now. And this is a number that really surprised me, Bill. 73% of the recipients of this questionnaire thought that a year of public service should be mandatory for all Americans.
Mm. That is surprising, isn't it? The number would be that high.
Yeah. I was thrilled to see it. We're seeing some of the Democratic candidates now talk about that a little bit. Pete Buttigieg, the mayor of South Bend, has got it on his website and something that he's very, very interested in. And the question was asked about a single year of a mandatory public service. My thought was really 2 years would be better, 1 year mandatory, and then a second year of optional service, with a lot of the benefits kicking in the second year. So there would be some incentive for people to continue into that second year in return for, you know, the GI Bill types of benefits. Now, this would not necessarily be military service. In fact, for most people, it wouldn't be. But it would be men and women. You couldn't opt out. You would need a very, very good excuse to not serve. And it would give people, I think, a sense of purpose, a sense of commonality, a sense of citizenship.
Would you have to leave your hometown area to serve, Shelley Fishman?
That's a degree of detail that I certainly don't think is mine to determine. But I do think it would be a good idea, whether you're in your hometown or not in your hometown, that you're not living at home. Mm-hmm. You're living with your colleagues.
Mm-hmm. And again, this could be... It could be a wide variety of activities. Is that what you're saying?
You bet. Yeah. National Service Corps could be. There's so many things that we need to get done in this country that could be done through this kind of national service. Understanding, of course, that not everybody is capable or willing to do, say, military service. Not everybody is capable or willing to go overseas and do that kind of service. Some people might, you know, want to do construction work or other kinds of things that would help build out the infrastructure in the country. But this would provide a basis for, again, some sort of common understanding among all kids as they graduate from high school, or if they're not going to graduate from high school when they turn 18.
Yes, be like the old WPA, and I still see when I walk around, say, Himmel Park, the sidewalks over there, WPA, USA, 1936 or 7, it says.
Right. Now, you know, one of the things I'd like to do, Bill, and I have not discussed this in advance, but I've written a couple of letters to the Star, mm-hmm. talking about this idea, and the Star has chosen to ignore me loudly.
Wow.
So if there are listeners out there who think this is a good idea, I'm going to request that you make your views known to the Star. Let's make sure that the editors of the Star understand that this is a popular idea and one that deserves public discussion.
Well, I have a few connections there. I'll put in a couple of good words for you, Shelley, and we'll see what we can do. How's that sound?
That's great. Since today's Tuesday, we don't want to talk about the markets.
No, let's not talk about the markets. Market's down a little bit today. Shelley, thank you very much for your support. Thank you, sir.
Bill, we'll see you next week. Thank you.
All right. Shelley Fishman, our certified financial planner who does the Tuesday Money Maker Report. Today, Shelley talking about this idea of national service, the New York Times subscribers. Let's see, over 4,100 of them were polled. 73% said yes, 12% no, and then 15% had no opinion. But anyway, so that I think that's very positive, a move in the right direction. All right, we'll take our break right here. It is the Buckmaster Show on 1030, The Voice, trusted local news and talk.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of Securities America or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor in private practice here in Tucson. Securities offered through Securities America, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through PFG Advisors. Securities America and PFG Advisors are separate entities.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Join hundreds of other Arizona businesses who have chosen to put kids first. The Corporate Tax Credit Scholarship Program's deadline is June 30th. Eligible businesses will receive a dollar-for-dollar tax credit. IBE, a school tuition organization, is ready to help. Talk to your accountant today. A one-minute application to IBE and we take care of the rest. IBE works with over 290 diverse schools, awarding 95% of all corporate donations to low-income and disabled students. Deadline, June 30th. azcorporatetax.org.
Welcome back. That's appropriate bump music, the music from Everybody's Talking, and we talk here on 1030, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. It's the Buckmaster Show, one of our great sponsors. I'd call him a legacy sponsor. We started the project here in 2011, and I think pretty much from the get-go, Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, have been with us. You know, it's just a 3-hour drive from the Tucson metro area over to a beautiful area of the southwest corner of the land of enchantment, New Mexico. I would suggest going to southwestnewmexico.org before you make the trip over there and get some great ideas about places to stay and so many recreation opportunities. And here's the good news. It's cooler over there because of the elevation being about anywhere from about same elevation as Denver, which is like a mile high, 5,500 feet to about 7,000 feet. So it's going to be cooler over there in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Let's welcome John Isley. John, how are you, sir?
I'm great, Bill. Really appreciate the opportunity to come and talk about one of my favorite things.
Well, one of your favorite things is this 2030 district. Now, we've had the board, Pima County Board of Supervisors signed on toward the end of last year.
Right.
I think December 4th. And then you had the city of Tucson and then the University of Arizona all signing on.
Yes.
But let's, John, go over with our listeners. What are they signing on to?
Well, the 2030 district, in Reader's Digest, it's a collaborative of the private sector and the public sector stakeholders to look at decreasing their energy, water, and CO2 emissions by 50% by 2030. That's where the 2030 comes in. And it turns out there are actually 21 other 2030 districts around the country. And we've been establishing one here in Tucson for the last about 3 years now. And we've made some really great progress. Last December, as you mentioned, having the city and the county and the university become members of the district was a major step forward for us. And what happens is we offer building owners to go in and actually what we call benchmark or measure the performance of their building. Because you can't improve what you can't measure, right? So they start out measuring, and then we enter into a conversation about, well, now that you can kind of know what your building's doing, what do you want to do about it? We offer that kind of conversation. So the city and the county, and what we do is this 50% decrease in energy by 2030 is really on a district-wide basis. It's not individual buildings. So
is that doable, John?
It's a goal.
Yeah, it's a goal, I know. But
doable
I mean,
or not, there are other districts that are making some good progress that have been at it for several years.
Can you give us some examples?
Of
others that are doing well, districts?
Seattle, Cleveland, Detroit, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, they've been around for 3, 4, or 5 years.
Well, we should be doing well because we're on the front lines of climate change.
Absolutely. And that's really, the bottom line is what we're about is trying to mitigate climate change and save energy and resources. So, as we measure the performance of the buildings and enter in those conversations, there's all kinds of resources that we can bring to the table. You know, a building owner often doesn't know what they don't know in terms of how to maybe save some energy. They're worried about running their business and doing their thing, right? Yeah. So we offer an opportunity to have a little bit different conversation. And so size-wise, just to give a perspective there, before the University of Arizona and Pima County and the city joined, we had about 21 buildings owners that had signed on to work. And then with that, with those big three, we call them, we went from like 21 buildings to 140 buildings. And we account for close to 13 million square feet of office building space that we're now committed to working toward those goals, right? So, and there was concern initially from particularly the government and the university about, well, what if we don't make it? Well, it's not about not making it. It's about working together toward those goals. That's really the focus. Because, nobody can do it individually. So the whole idea that we're bringing to the table is to collaborate, and that we believe that there's a lot more progress that can be made with sharing best practices, collaborating, developing different techniques and education to, you know, move the needle forward.
Well, what percentage of the buildings then would be? You mentioned a figure there that how many?
Well, you know, we haven't actually counted the buildings.
Kind of roughly, but, what's your?
Well, roughly the total. We figured roughly the square footage within this kind of the district boundaries about 25 million square feet.
Okay, so, and you're at what right
we're
now?
We're about 13 million, right?
Okay,
so we're a, you know, fairly high percentage. Higher than actually a lot of the other districts around the country in terms of the amount, because the university was a, you know, was a big deal. They're about 10 or 11 million square feet. So
wow,
So what they committed to by quote joining the district was to just share their data anonymously with the district. So we get their performance numbers and aggregate those with the performance of the other buildings and come up with a district average. And then we're going to measure that performance, that district average over the next 10 years now.
What about cost?
There's no cost for members to join, building owners. We also have what we call professional members. So there's building owners that are, and we call them partners of the district. And then there's professional partners, which are the engineering firms and architects and people that can help a building owner actually do some improvements, you know, do a lighting retrofit or so forth. Those professional members, we're gonna start actually next month about instituting a membership fee for them, because they, you know, we're actually creating demand for some of their services, and they get a benefit of kind of being at the front of the line to get the business. But building owners, you know, we offer just an initial, what we call a free benchmark and measurement of their building, and then a conversation. Then what we do is we recommend, well, now if you want to move forward and look at lighting or look at your HVAC system,
or
look
water,
at your windows, or look at your water, here's some people that share the same vision with the district and, you know, might give you a little discount or do some pro bono or, you know.
You're really about starting a conversation, aren't you, John? That's kind of what I'm picking up on this.
That's exactly right. Yeah. What we're really about is just trying to get people around the table.
There you go.
Let's start the conversation. We want to facilitate and be a catalyst to starting the conversation.
We're speaking, our conversation is with John Isley. John is the executive director of the Tucson 2030 district. Pima County's joined the city of Tucson, and as John pointed out, it's huge to get the University of Arizona, because their footprint with buildings is huge.
Yeah.
You mentioned a few moments ago, I think, how many buildings they've
got. 130 buildings.
Yeah, John,
about 11 million square feet. So, yeah.
You know, water is part of the deal, and I'm just curious, while we have you in studio, some of your thoughts on reintroducing water to the Santa Cruz River. And that happened yesterday.
Eldia
de San Juan, which traditionally, according to what my old friend Big Jim Griffith used to talk about, that was kind of the signal of the monsoon season.
Yeah.
Big Jim used to say if the rains came before that day, it was not good. You didn't want, you know, the old timers, we don't want the early rain. You want them now starting up just after San Juan Day. But anyway, we've got water again in the Santa Cruz. John, your thoughts?
Well, in terms of the goals of the district, we look at really at potable water, the 50% decrease. However, in Tucson, because we're in the desert and water is an issue, we're also looking at potable, non-potable water or water harvesting. So we've been in a lot of conversation with Watershed Management Group and some of the other water conservation folks around town, and we're looking at ways to try and measure how can we measure improvement in rainwater harvesting? And it's a tough thing because but we're looking at taking a look at different building footprints and how much, you know, green space or how much parking lots are available in those buildings where we could do some additional water catchment, because, you know, the feeling is, you know, if we could just harvest the water that falls on Tucson, we wouldn't have any kind of a water problem. So if we could do a better job of harvesting water and encourage that, I think that would, you know, would add to being able to not pump the water out of the ground and have those rivers running again, which is kind of a dream that a lot of us share.
So, and this isn't using a lot of water, this reintroduction in the Santa Cruz, is it?
No, I'm not familiar exactly. I think it's reclaimed water.
It is reclaimed,
Right. So
I think it's kind of a win-win situation for everybody. John, where can people find out more about the Tucson 2030 District?
We have a website. It's 2030districts with an S.org. Mm-hmm. So 2030districts.org/Tucson is our website. And then that website, you also can have look at the other 21 districts around the country. They can certainly send me an email, John Isley at 2030districts.org. We put out a monthly newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
So if anyone is interested in keeping track of what we're doing on a monthly basis, shoot me an email or sign
all
up,
right.
And we can get the newsletter out. Get them on a mailing list.
John, we'll talk to you again about sustainability. Thank you for coming in.
Great. Really appreciate it. Thanks for the opportunity.
It's John Isley with the Tucson 2030 District, learning about that. One quick question for you, John, is that kind of like a franchise?
No, it's not a franchise.
Kind of like a McDonald's. You said there were like...
We're all volunteer. We're all nonprofits.
All right. So that just came to me. I thought maybe
we're officially a nonprofit corporation with a 501c3 status.
Important stuff to get out there.
Right.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
All right. The Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by our friends over at Green Things. That's appropriate after talking about sustainability. They're doing a great job over on the 13-acre site along the Rito River, 3384 East River Road. Not only all the plants and garden supplies that you need, they have such a great reputation for that, but Zocalo for years over at near Country Club and Broadway, all that great merchandise, Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. Well, they're now over at Green Things. So come visit the five shops at Zocalo Village. I saw on Facebook they're unpacking a lot of new merchandise from their recent buying trip to Mexico. Go to greenthingsaz.com for more. Be right back.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
At Sierra Tucson, we see miracles of healing every day. We are honored to be an international premier treatment center right here in Southern Arizona. Our comprehensive evidence-based programs focus on addiction recovery, mood and anxiety disorders, trauma recovery, including PTSD, pain recovery, and co-occurring disorders. Learn more at sierratucson.com. Or call us at 800-842-4487. We work with most insurance payers.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Our arts report sponsored by our friends at Tucson Fox Theater. The Fox is thrilled, and they should be, to welcome back the Andrea Hart Foundation and their annual fundraising event. Join the fun and support a great cause. Saturday, July the 20th, a screening of one of my all-time favorite movies, 1961, Breakfast at Tiffany's, starring Audrey Hepburn and George Peppard. And of course, we all know the wonderful music that came from that soundtrack, Moon River, one of my all-time favorites from that great movie. VIP tickets, the film screening, popcorn, soda, ice cream, and the Andrea Hart Tiffany Blue Ornament. The Andrea Hart Foundation was established in the memory of Andrea, who died suddenly of an undiagnosed heart condition. The foundation supports and provides opportunities for the community to learn CPR, provides cardiac screening for students, provides automatic electronic defibrillators to schools, so much more. For more information, visit FoxTucson.com for all the ticket information. Let's welcome now Visit Tucson Communications Director. Here he is, Dan Gibson. Dan, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing real well. I love that movie, Breakfast at Tiffany's.
And yeah, if you ignore the Mickey Rooney part, that's a little bit
better. Yeah. Oh, where he comes in wearing the funny hat and all that stuff. Oh, yeah, yeah. That's kind of weird, that party.
A little problematic, but otherwise.
The party scene there. But I can still see, to close my eyes and hear the lovely Audrey Hepburn as she's sitting there at the windowsill strumming on, I don't know, it's like a little ukulele, isn't it?
It's a lovely. It's got a, it's who said it's Truman Capote, right? Yeah,
yeah.
It's like such a weird. Yeah,
yeah. Great. People say, well, nothing goes on in Tucson in the summer. Now you're going to tell us about some great arts activities that really throw cold water on that notion.
There's plenty. There's almost too much happening. It's confusing to me. I get a little overwhelmed. But you know what? The summertime, inside, you're looking for something air-conditioned. May I suggest the theater get out there and see something new? Live Theater Workshop this Thursday, Friday, Saturday, beyond that even. They're having a show called Things Being What They Are. It's Wendy McLeod is the playwright. It's sort of an Odd Couple theme, but it's funny. It's got sort of, it's thoughtful. It's a sharp comedy about, as they say, the lives we dream of having versus the lives we end up living. So Live Theater Workshop consistently has really great shows. If you go to their website at livetheaterworkshop.org, you can find out about the 18 shows of this production of Things Being What They Are. So worth checking out.
Nice
opportunity to see something.
Where is the venue for Live Theater Workshop?
I'm glad you asked, Bill. It's at 5317 East Speedway Boulevard, so between Craycroft and Rosemont. It's on the north side of the street.
And are these folks who just love theater that come over and do this? Are there some former professionals or professionals, whatever?
Yeah, it's a paid theater. They have a lot of youth programs as well. They do some late night productions, but they do. The artistic director there, Sabian Trout, does a really nice job of and they pay their actors the whole bit. Yeah,
wow.
Good shows over there consistently. Everything I've ever seen at Live Theater Workshop is really smart and clever.
So. All right, what's up?
They do an excellent job.
What's up next?
Well, it's taking it from sharp comic theater to thoughtful poetry. On June 26th, tomorrow, 6 to 8 p.m. at Mocha Tucson, they have a show called On the Brink, Unconstellating, which is a new word to me. Messages from Tucson Poets. It's four Tucson writers and poets talking about the ecology of the Southwest, the sort of the waterways, the consumption, destruction, all these sort of large issues about that stuff. It's $5 admission with cash bar and poems by Rachel Gutierrez, Brandon Shimoda, Claire Musheski, I'm going to go with, and Miranda Tremier. So four poets talking about the sort of ecological issues of our time. Why not? You know, and it's only $5, and you can get yourself a drink and see some poetry. Be refined, you know?
What did you think about water running in the Santa Cruz again?
It is such a fascinating thing. I mean, it's sort of like, I'm glad that it's sort of returned to that ecology and what it's going to do for the basin of Santa Cruz. It's amazing to me how Tucson has lost its mind over it. Like, I've never seen so many people so excited about anything happening in this town ever.
Yeah, I know. I mean... It's going to make sort of a little nice little green belt, that's for sure, at least along the water there.
Yeah, and you'll see fish back in there and things like that. So it's sort of a fascinating experiment. I'm 100% for it. It's funny because people are like, well, is it going to be like a river walk in San Antonio? I'm like, we're not quite there yet.
Let's slow
down a tiny bit.
The rowing competition will have to wait a little
bit. We'll work on that. We'll get there.
One of the big events, probably the signature event of our community, is the Tucson Gem, Mineral, and Fossil Showcase. Visit Tucson Today released a news release. It came from your desk, actually.
That's me. I did that.
Yes, about the direct spending from this year's show. Was the number rather impressive?
Yeah, absolutely. So it was $131 million in direct spending. So that's people actually, like, putting money into the community, not the sort of adjacent things that stretch out from there, which creates our survey had it to $13 million in local tax revenue for the 2 weeks of the Gem Show, which is a pretty massive influx of money. What's interesting is that it was up from the last time we did the survey in 2014. There were more visitors to the shows. That's up 31%. And then up in the amount of tax revenue, 21% over 2014. What was interesting was that, like, when we talk about the number from 14, it's $120 million. You kind of would think that there'd be a larger growth, but in the survey we did, the vendors were spending less money on renting equipment, which actually for us is a good sign because it means they're more committed to the community. I know every year there's always that, like, constant panic, is the Gem Show leaving? And this shows that they're really, like, committed to this area, that they're buying things, they're buying equipment and facilities that were formerly leased in 2014. So you can see that the Gem Show is, you know, really functionally here to stay for the long term.
It's really the big show in one of the two or three biggest in the world, right?
It's us in Munich. Munich is sort of a different function in a way. Like, it's one show with a ton of people to it. There's no show that has the diversity of product, you know, 48 individual shows, almost nearly 5,000 exhibitors. So, I mean, there's this, it is the diversity of what's happening here, and the volume of it is unparalleled. It is the biggest in the world in that way.
Dan Gibson with us from Visit Tucson. Dan, I can take another quick arts item if you've got one, a real short one.
Yeah, I'm into it. Bach Without Borders, Sunday, June 30th from 2 to 4 p.m. at Grace St. Paul's Episcopal Church. Talk about classy. It's a husband and wife, rising stars in the world of classical guitar. They'll be performing a couple pieces by Bach. It's at 2 p.m., so you can, you know, mark it out of your day in the afternoon. I would imagine, well, air-conditioned as well. Jing Jia and Bin Hu, she's playing the guzheng, which is sort of a harpish-type instrument. But, it should be a fascinating show to me.
It sounds like a good one. Thank you so much, Dan. I hope you have a great afternoon, sir. Thanks.
You too.
The Arts Report on the Buckmaster Show, sponsored by Fox Tucson Theater. The Fox is thrilled to welcome back the Andrea Hart Foundation and their annual fundraising event. Join in all the fun and support a great cause Saturday, July the 20th, and enjoy the 1961 classic Breakfast at Tiffany's. So that's going to be a great event. And you can find out more. Ticket information is available at Fox.com. tucson.com. And once again, that's for a great cause, for the Andrea Heart Foundation. And that is Saturday, July 20th. So mark your calendars. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Bob Dio is on the other side of the glass, and he did a great job as usual. Jennifer English around the table. That program coming up next on 10:30, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. We have Senator McSally with us tomorrow. And then we also have Sharon Bronson, Pima County Supervisor, talking about the Pima County budget. Very full hour, as usual, on Buckmaster tomorrow. Hope you have a great afternoon.